Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Marital Discord Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
What? What did I do now?
Oh, no, nothing. Well, as far as I know,
I mean,
nothing.
I don't even have a marital right now. I'm between maritals.
Relax. This isn't about you. This is about our good friend Peppy.
Huh?
Otherwise known as the Pep.
Yeah.
His name is really Joe, but he's been known by other names like the Sheetrock King, Joey Jackets, Shakwabal. I guess that's from his golf days.
Yeah.
And this is a story that was recently told to me by his wife, Antoinette, because I really didn't ever know the whole truth.
Oh.
And nothing but the truth. So I will reveal it as best I can.
Yeah.
And without allowing the truth to get in the way of a good story. But as far as I know, this is all true. Some of the facts may be a little bit off.
Is this the story about snow?
This is a story about snow, and I did get permission from both of them to use their names.
Oh, you did?
So our friend Pep had long lusted after a Lincoln Town car. He'd always wanted one. He had had some nice Oldsmobiles and the like, and you know, but he always wanted a Lincoln Town car.
Yeah, he's Italian.
Exactly. As an Italian-American, I mean, who wouldn't want a Lincoln Town car?
I don't.
And well, there you go. He finally got a car that was in reasonably good shape, but it needed a lot of stuff. He paid a fair amount of money for it, but did have a lot of work done to the body, had the entire car painted. And I remember we did a whole bunch of work rebuilding the front end of the car. It was pretty nice.
I remember.
And it was the apple of his eye. And he drove it, and of course, being their only car, his wife, Antoinette, would drive it too. And Pep had a job working at the airport, which required him to get up very early in the morning. And so he would often go to bed at, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Well, one of these nights while he was sound asleep, his wife and Pep's sister, who I guess I can name too, even though I didn't get permission, Celia.
Sure.
We were out having a night on the town, so to speak. And I don't know how what confluence of forces got to work here, but maybe it was the fact that they might have had a few too many sombreros or something, but they were driving home to Pep's house, and because it was snowing, Celia decided that she didn't want Antoinette to drive her home. Rather, she was going to stay over at their house.
Yeah.
And it was maybe the snow, maybe the slickness of the roads, the fact that the sand and salt trucks hadn't been out. Antoinette miscalculated on a turn and wiped out the entire driver's side of the car on a telephone pole. And so they park in front of the house as people in our fair city tend to do, not having driveways in most residences. And she left the car there figuring, I can't wake him up now. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. What am I going to do? Wake him up, say, hey, Pep, I smashed up the car. Oh, try to go back to sleep so you can go to work in a few hours. I'll let it sit until the morning and we won't worry about it.
Yeah.
So she goes to bed. Celia goes to sleep. And the next morning, bright and early, Pep gets up because he's going to go to work. And as luck would have it, it snowed about 15 inches that night.
Yeah.
You can see what the rest of the story is going to, hold. The car is completely covered with snow. And even better, the snow plow has plowed the car in on the driver's side. Oh. So it's completely covered with icy, crusted snow that is frozen overnight.
Beautiful.
And Pep goes out early that morning. Of course, Celia and Antoinette are, sleeping it off.
Of course.
He's up bright and early. He's going to get to work. And he is removing very carefully the snow and ice from the car, being careful not to scratch the, brand new paint job. And as he peels away very carefully the snow, he reveals the left front fender all smashed in. Now in a frenzy, and without the use of the shovel, he's got his ungloved hands and he's tearing away at the snow to reveal the door all smashed in, and the rear door all smashed in. He goes into a rage. He flings the shovel. He comes into the house. He screamed, my car is ruined. My car is all smashed up. And Antoinette, of course, is awakened by this. And she has to confess. And she says, Pep, I can. And she's about to say, explain everything when he says, the snowplow hit my car. She says, I can feel your pain, Pep. I can feel it. He says, I'll get to the bottom of this no matter what it takes. I'm going to call the city. I'm going to file a civilian complaint. Well, of course, nothing ever came of it. No one ever owned up to hitting his car because no one had.
No one had. It was already hit.
Fast forward to about 10 years later, during which time Antoinette and Pep's sister Celia had harbored this dark secret and never revealed to Pep.
She never told
him? Never told him. And I think at the occasion may have been the birth of their first grandchild, while he's holding the youngster in his arms, and he's full of happiness and joy. Antoinette says, oh, by the way, remember that night
remember the Lincoln?
The snowplow hit your Lincoln? That wasn't what happened. And she tells the truth. And, of course, the moral of the story is if you're going to confess to something awful, pick the right time. Who's this on the line? Is we... Hey, Pep
Benucci.
Hey, I remember that like it was yesterday. I was happy holding my grandkids, but I'll tell you, it reverted back to those days when I wasn't too thrilled about what took place that day.
Oh, it brought you back. How long did it take you? Did you forgive her?
Well, I have to now. We're too old to do anything else, so I got to forgive her, you know? But what kills me more, though, is that my sister held on to that. She never told me. My own flesh and blood. She held on to that secret along with her sister-in-law.
Oh, boy. It shows you that that womanhood is stronger than brotherhood and sisterhood.
That old saying that blood is thicker than water, well, I guess you can throw that out the window.
Well, no? Pep, we feel your pain, man. And you're a good sport for letting us tell the story.
I think if anybody had a camera on my face, I would have loved to have seen the expression on my face now. No, but
yeah, it would be interesting.
Well, according to Antoinette, even from inside the house, she could hear the words. And I can't repeat them on National Public Radio.
Well, you know, Tony Soprano's ears would even cringe at what I was saying.
Oh, Pep, you're a good sport, man.
Okay, guys.
Take it easy.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Boy, he caught on in a hurry. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Kate in Las Vegas.
Kate with a K, of course.
Kate with a K.
So what's going on, Kate?
Well, I have a 1995 red Acura Integra, and it's doing something really quirky.
Mm-hmm.
It when it gets to be about 103 or higher, when I stop at red lights, the car will stop, but then my brakes start slipping, and my foot goes closer and closer and closer to hitting the floor, and I have to take my foot off the brake and sort of let the car lurch forward a little, then catch it, and it'll stop, but then it slips again.
And how long has it been doing this?
Only since it started getting really hot.
Which
was
February,
1910.
Right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's been about 6 weeks now here.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous, though. I mean, aren't you nervous about this?
Yeah, because, you know, we have lots of traffic here and an awful lot of lights, and they're long, so I'd like to do things.
Well, I mean, how come you didn't bring it somewhere?
Take it
somewhere.
I did, and they tell me I'm crazy.
They told you were crazy?
Pretty much. You know, they didn't say it. They gave me the look.
A crazy?
Oh, yeah? What's the look?
You know, the look where they sort of tilt their head at you and say, well, I'm sure it happens, but we don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you weren't sufficiently convincing. What do you do for a living?
I'm a professor.
Of what?
Sociology.
Wow. Jeez, you should be able to handle this.
You'd think, but I know nothing about cars.
No, but you must know about Neanderthals.
Yeah, I know a lot about people. That's how I knew what the look meant.
Yeah, you know what the look meant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you have to go back and tell them that you're pretty sure.
You're pretty sure. You're
pretty
almost positive.
You're almost positive, and you've spoken to people who sound like they know what they're talking about.
And they're almost positive, too.
That you need a brake master cylinder.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That sounds expensive.
No,
yeah.
No, no.
It's a few $100.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah,
that's nothing. If you're in Las Vegas and you're a sociology professor,
one roll of the dice.
She's probably making 12, 15 grand a year.
Yeah, just about that. And the silly thing is, I of all things, I studied the sex industry. So the people that I interview and research make more than me. I mean, it's really silly.
You study what industry?
The sex industry.
It's an industry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have legal brothels out here.
No kidding.
No kidding. Yeah. Only place in the country, so it's worth looking at, you know?
Doing any field work, as they say?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, just curious.
No, I mean, it's very, very clear that you need a Breakmaster cylinder.
Okay.
And it was unconscionable of those guys to send you away because, obviously, it's dangerous.
Uh-huh.
And the description that you gave leads clearly to a Master cylinder.
And isn't Lake Powell near Las Vegas?
I don't know. We have Lake Mead, which is about 40 minutes away.
40 minutes. And what do people do on Lake Mead?
Just try and stay cool. You know, boating, swimming,
boating.
All that stuff.
Yeah. So it's likely that the guys to whom you took the car could even have a boat.
That's right.
If they had a boat, they'd have to make what?
Boat payments.
Boat payments.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, they could have made a boat payment and saved your life at the same time.
There you go. So this is indeed a threatening kind of problem.
Don't wait.
Do it tomorrow.
Got it.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Kate.
All right. Take care.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Yusuf, and I'm calling from Flowery Branch, Georgia.
Flowery Branch.
Yeah, it's about an hour northeast of Atlanta, and it's actually famous for having the Atlanta Falcons training camp is located here.
Oh, and is it named appropriately?
There's a lot of trees. I don't know about flowers.
Oh, all right. So what's up, Yusuf?
I have a 99 Ford F-150. It's got about 196,000 miles on it.
Mm.
And recently it was kind of running a little rough, you know, when you start it up. Just kind of a little shudder when you start it up. And I figured maybe it's time to change out the spark plugs. I've had it for only about 50,000 miles of that life. So I figured I'd go in there and change them, and a lot of them look like they'd never been changed before. So I went out and bought some spark plugs, and they specifically said on them, do not regap. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I went through and measured with my feeler gauge the gap on these spark plugs, it was not within the manufacturer's specifications. So
really?
Of course, it was a little off. It was probably about 5 thousandths off. So I went ahead and regapped them, and I'm trying to figure out, was that a smart thing or not so smart thing to do?
Well, how big was the printing?
Because I can read it.
But was it bigger than the surrounding printing? In other words, was it bold type so that you would notice it and
like,
obey it?
Like, did it say, do not regap? Or did it just say, don't regap?
Yeah, what was your interpretation? Because obviously your interpretation was, don't regap, but don't take
it.
But
if you have to, go ahead.
But don't take it seriously.
I didn't take it seriously because it was wrong.
Did you buy these plugs from Ford?
No, I bought them from a aftermarket store, but they're a name brand.
So they're like Motorcraft plugs or Champions or?
They're NGKs.
Were they all 5 thousandths off?
Yeah. They were
you did the right thing. They're probably the wrong plugs, and your engine's going to melt in 6 months.
Great.
So you didn't have NGKs in there?
No, it had some Motorcraft, and a couple of them were Autolites.
You know, I mean, NGK, I'm sure, makes a plug for this truck.
Yeah.
But you may not have bought it. Well, you may have bought one number off, and that's maybe why the gap was off.
And if you've changed these plugs, do you think I'm going to go back and change these out?
No, I don't think so. They were a pain, weren't they?
Absolutely. It took about 4 hours to do.
Oh, you have a V8?
I have a V8, a 5.4 liter.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's.
Yeah, just keep driving. Well, I would go back to the place where you bought them and ask them again to check. Are these really the right plugs?
And have them not look it up by application, but rather look at what's called the cross-reference chart. So they can, if you have one of your old plugs, I'm sure you saved a couple, right?
Maybe. They were pretty nasty.
You flung them all, right? good son.
They're all in your driveway. You'll find one. Just keep.
Yeah, get a metal detector. So if you should find one of these Motorcrafts or Autolite spark plugs that was in there, you can verify that the NGK number, hopefully, is, you know, matched up, is in fact a perfect replacement.
Right.
And if it is, you did the right thing to regap them. So the gaps were all too big?
Yeah, but the instructions when they said because you could damage the electrode. It's got one of those really tiny little electrodes, looks like about the size of the head of a pen.
The center electrode.
The center electrode.
Yeah,
right.
You didn't touch that, did you?
Well, you kind of necessarily have to touch it a little bit.
The only time you have to touch it is to put the gauge in there. And I think what they're worried about is when you put the gauge in there to check to see if you've done it correctly, it's very easy to break off. Not that center electrode, but the insulator around it. And that's why they don't want you monkeying with them.
Mm.
How does it run now?
I still got a shutter when I start it up. It runs better overall, but it does have a little shudder still when I start it up. It goes away probably after about 20, 30 seconds or so.
And you've got, let me check this, you have 196,000 miles on it.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, lucky stars, and keep driving.
You need a hobby. You need a hobby. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Why don't you take a piano tuning?
Yeah, I'm guessing you have a dirty injector or two. And that's probably more responsible for the rough running. A bad plug would more likely manifest itself as a miss at high speed.
So you're telling me I didn't have to do a four-hour job on this thing now?
No, you didn't have to do that. No.
Yeah.
But leave the injector. Don't go taking any injectors. I'll put some cleaner in there.
Okay.
There are lots of cleaners available for injectors, and hopefully that'll take care of it.
Hope for the best.
And buy that piano tuning tool. See,
you're going to love piano tuning.
Oh, you are. It's, you know what? It's very soothing and peaceful. You'll hardly ever smash a knuckle on anything. And you won't swear much.
And you do most of it indoors.
Right.
Oh, wonderful.
You don't have to worry about the winter or none of that stuff.
See you, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you.
All right, look, before we take another call, we have to pause and give our stations a chance to get a word in edgewise.
Oh, you mean, is this where they come on and they plead with their listeners not to demand their pledges back?
Oh, yeah, and lots of other things, too.
Well, when we come back, I'll have an interesting letter about what some people associate with car talk.
I'm not sure I want to know what this is.
I don't think you do. But it's coming up, along with more car questions, right after this short break.
So much promise with so much pain. Surveying eyes overloaded again. No signs to follow. And the road is dark. 16 miles out of Denver was so low. 2,000 markers more to go. Crisscrossing country. So many believe.
And even though classical music listeners get ear cramps whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and perhaps strange bedfellows.
Yeah, this is a letter from a guy named Kevin Greenlees. He says this. I don't know if you guys use Gmail, but if you do, you know about the ads that appear in the right-hand column on your screen when you view your emails.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow cater towards my interests by analyzing the content of each individual email that I read, noticing keywords and using those terms as filters to bring up relevant advertisements. If I'm reading an email about my credit history, for example, it lists credit reporting businesses. If I'm reading my iTunes receipt, it lists ads for other music download services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for some reason, when I read my weekly Car Talk Puzzler email, the following list of ads appears. 1. Prevent runner's diarrhea. Learn what causes runner's diarrhea and how to prevent it. 2. Constipation info. Find constipation causes, relief and treatments for constipation. 3. Bloating, gas, flush away 20 pounds, improve health, and remove toxins. Try colon cure free. Now, how do you explain this?
Well, the explanation seems to be pretty, this seems to be a one-to-one correspondence between what our show is and what these ads all deal with. I don't think there's any explanation beyond that that's necessary. Hey, for those of you who are yearning for a puzzler right about now.
You think anybody yearns for one of your puzzlers?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the word yearn is a little strong. You know.
Well, how about for those of you who aren't dead set on avoiding a puzzle?
That works. Anyway, while the puzzler is away, you can find a classic puzzler posted every week on our website, cartalk.com. So check that out.
And if you run across something amusing, I'm always looking for entertaining stuff to read while I'm sitting on my park bench during the week.
Well, you're not just going to use the stuff people send in at, like, covers, are you?
No, no. I got two copies of last Sunday's paper for that.
Oh, okay. So you're actually going to read the stuff that people take the trouble to send in? Is that what I'm letting you
read? I am. But then after I read it, I might ball it up and use it as a pillow.
Okie doke.
So if you see something I might want to read, send it to me at Mail for Tommy, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Ah, my line, Our Fair City.
Massachusetts, 02238. Or you can email me from cartalk.com.
But if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dr. Ralph Armstrong in Monroe, Louisiana.
Hi, Dr. Ralph. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you. I've got a 93 Suburban.
Wait a minute. What kind of a doctor are you?
I'm a gynecologist.
Ah.
Okay.
But I've got a 93 Suburban that about 2 weeks ago, I turned off the ignition and a clicking sound started under the dashboard. And it lasted about 20 seconds, and I turned the ignition back on, and it came back on again. I have a recording of it here that I can play for you. And it comes on every time that I turn on the ignition, and it lasts 20 seconds because I've timed it. And then when I stop and turn the ignition off, it comes on for 20 seconds.
You could set your watch by it.
Yes, yes. Now here's the sound. I've got a recording here. But that's the sound that it
got
makes.
It. I got it, too. Remember that? There was a quiz show that used to be on when we were kids called Beat the Clock. No.
But you know, it's so regular. It sounded at first like maybe there was something alive under the hood, and I looked, but there was nothing there.
Yeah, woodpecker. I mean, it's definitely woodpecker sound. A little slower than a real woodpecker, but very close.
Do you listen to the radio?
Yeah, yes.
Do you have a power antenna?
No, it's just a regular antenna with...
Oh, what a bummer!
Well, you know, I've turned the air conditioner on and off. It's not affected by that. It doesn't affect the functioning of the car. I still drive.
Yeah, no,
well.
I think it has something to do with the heating and ventilation system.
I like it.
Under the dash, there are vacuum motors. Actually, they're not really motors like you would think of a motor in the traditional sense, but it is a motor, and then it moves a door.
Right. When you apply some force to it, it moves the door. The
like
force
vacuum.
Happens to be vacuum.
Oh, I see.
And what's happening is you're hearing that flap, 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 flap.
Play it again. Let's see if we really believe this story.
All right, let me see if I can turn it on again. I'm getting to kind of like it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to get rid of it?
No, I mean, you've obviously said that it has no effect on the performance of the car, you know, so why bother? But I think it's one of those doors that's either, when you shut the car off, you interrupt the source of vacuum.
Uh-huh.
So the door, which is being held open by the vacuum, keeps going pip, 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 pip.
It'll open, close, and it'll pop, 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 pop.
Until finally the vacuum source is gone completely. It goes down to zero, and the noise goes away.
Okay, but you don't think it's dangerous, my leaving it unfixed for a little while?
Our lawyers have told us not to ever say that.
Right. Everything has the potential to be dangerous, Dr. Ralph.
Everything has the potential to be dangerous. I'm familiar with that.
You think that you got malpractice insurance.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing.
It's killing us.
That's a concept I'm fully aware of.
Yeah, but it sure doesn't sound to me like it's dangerous.
Okay.
So you need to stick your head up under that dashboard, and you'll find it immediately.
Okay, I was a little afraid to do that because, you know, I don't want to do anything to hurt my hands. That's the main thing.
That is important.
There's nothing up there that can hurt you.
Okay, good.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
It's a rattlesnake.
It could be a rattler. Louisiana water moccasin could be under that dashboard.
Sounds like a rattlesnake, doesn't it? A little bit.
Is he still there? He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. Oh, don't do anything. Take it to the dealer. See you later.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Ralph.
Appreciate you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. But the power antenna would have been so good.
Oh, the power antenna is the answer. I mean, he may think he doesn't have a power antenna, but he does. General Motors, in their great wisdom, sneaked in half of a power antenna.
Oh, yeah?
So the motor is down there.
But the antenna
isn't. But the antenna isn't.
In case he ever wanted it, all the doors.
They would have to just plug dump it in. Because it's cheaper for them to put it in.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nigel calling from Los Angeles.
What's your name again?
Nigel.
Nigel?
Isn't that a guy's name?
You know, I knew you were going to say that.
Well,
duh. Because it is a guy's name.
In this case.
Well, I mean, I've known a lot of guys named Nigel. I've never met a woman named Nigel.
You know, I never have either. I mean, the only one I know.
So how did you get the name Nigel?
Well, you'd have to talk to my parents about that one, but yeah. I will tell you there's some odd names in my family.
Like what?
You got a brother named Sue?
No. Well, I do have someone in my family named after a car.
Oh, yeah? And what would that be?
I told her I wouldn't tell.
Oh, her.
Her.
Yeah.
Well,
let's see if we can guess it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Porsche.
No, Porsche would be... how about Camaro?
Now, that's funny that you should say Camaro, because my question involves a Camaro.
Okay, I think your sister's name is Honda.
Well, it's actually not that weird, except that it was named. She was named before the car was came out. She was born in the 50s, and she was named Jetta, J-E-T-T-A.
No kidding.
I like Jetta.
Yeah,
she's all right because she was there before the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we don't know what a Jetta is, so it hardly makes a difference.
Oh, see, there you go.
So what's wrong with your Camaro, Nigel?
Well, it's not my Camaro. The problem is that my fella and I, we're moving cross-country to North Carolina in a couple months. And we're going to be driving my F-150. And the problem is that he's got a 1979 Camaro, and he's very attached to it, and he wants to tow it behind the truck.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about towing and what would be involved with attaching it. And then my other question was, with gas mileage, you know, what kind of effect is it going to have?
Oh, it's going to have a tremendous effect.
But not as bad as driving two cars cross-country.
Right.
It's certainly going to be better than that. I mean, the cheapest way to get it to North Carolina is probably to tow it. May not be the safest thing to do, especially if you feel uncomfortable about it. But there are lots of ways you can tow it. You can tow it a la the tow trucks where, you know, two or four wheels stay on the ground. Or you can put it on a trailer.
Right.
Are you also going to be bringing all your earthly possessions with you?
Oh, well,
yeah. You can put those in the Camaro.
Yeah. That's true.
Right.
So the Camaro weighs like 3,000 pounds, and you're going to put another 3,000 pounds of stuff in it.
I think that's a fantastic idea. No, we're having everything shipped.
How old is the F-150?
It's an OT4.
An OT4. What size engine? You have like a 5.4-liter engine?
Yes.
You do.
Any idea how many miles on it?
Yeah, it's about 43,000.
43,000, and you're getting about 12 miles per gallon.
And you'll get about 6 if you drag the car behind you.
Yeah, you might. No, yeah. It won't be that much worse. You'd be surprised. I mean, the drop in mileage is kind of an asymptotic thing. I mean, it won't go much below about 7 or 8, I bet. No matter how you could pull maybe the whole state of California, and you'd get 5. So if you feel confident in driving, pulling a 3,000-pound car plus the trailer,
But then what do you do with the trailer?
Right.
But you don't have to use a trailer. You can tow it on the ground. And you've probably seen RVs towing around, like Toyota Corollas.
Yes.
And there's a hitch, and it's attached to the frame. And the only thing they advise you to do is to disconnect the drive shaft so that the wheels are not turning the transmission.
Okay, sure.
So, I mean, if you feel confident that you can do that, that's going to be the cheapest way to get it out there. And you would go to a place like U-Haul or whatever and rent the tow bar. And they'd hook it all up for you and make sure that it's safe. And you drive it around town for a few days. And if you say, I can't do this, you bring it back and you return everything. And if you think you can do it, you take off.
Yeah,
that's
take it on
idea.
The highway to see what it feels like.
Yeah, change lanes with it. Cut off a few buses. get the full flavor of the whole experience. I mean, you're gonna have to do everything to find out, drive it in the rain if you can, and see what it's like.
I will take your advice, and because I definitely trust it, so I'm willing to experiment.
Well, how serious are you with this guy?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, because we don't want to put you in danger if you're going to dump him on the way.
Well, you know, I guess that depends on how he behaves on the road.
Ah, that's good. This will be a wonderful
test. By the way, this will tell you a lot.
You ain't kidding.
This will tell you a lot. By the time you get to say, I'm going to say St. Louis.
I thought Kansas.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, maybe Colorado. You may decide to turn back. Or you may decide that he's going to turn back and you're going to North Carolina. This trip could be a very...
It could mean everything.
Yeah.
This could change your whole life.
And yet another reason to have both vehicles.
Well, exactly. That's the reason. Because if you have to get rid of him, you can just...
He's got a way home.
Unhook him, put the drive shaft in, and point him in the other direction. Good luck, Nigel.
Thank you, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jeremy in Baltimore.
Hi, Jeremy. What's happening, man?
Well, my wife and I just had twin daughters.
And you named them after us.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
All right.
So the girls have put us, in for a lifestyle change, and we just went out to buy a station wagon.
Yeah.
And we were test driving Subarus and Passats. And it sort of reminded me of a problem. Whenever I ride in a Volkswagen, at least a new Volkswagen, I get carsick.
Yeah.
And I don't usually get carsick, but I do in Volkswagens, in Passats, in the new Beetles.
Do you get just sick? I mean, you get distressed, or is there the whole thing?
I just get distressed. I feel queasy, uncomfortable.
And at which point you do what?
Well,
do you recover from it, or you say blow over?
No,
have you blown chunks?
And would you if you drove?
No, I haven't. But yeah. I haven't been on a long trip in one.
And this has happened in Volkswagens for how many years?
I don't know. I haven't ridden in too many Volkswagens, but the last couple of years.
Does it also have you? Do you have any friends with money who have like Mercedes?
I don't think so.
Because how about BMW? I'm going to agree with my brother here.
I think it has to do with the dashboard.
The plastic.
That's what I suspected.
Well, I think. I mean, I have no evidence whatsoever. But in my humble opinion, I think that the whatever product they use in Germany for some reason, the German cars seem to have a different smell.
They exude some kind of
horrible, poisonous, volatile, organic chemical.
The stuff probably isn't any more harmful than the stuff that you can't smell, or at least isn't offensive to you. But I often, especially in BMWs, will get nauseous.
There you go. That's okay. Probably made in Germany too, isn't it?
What are the chances
of that? Well, you know, it's not true that this stuff is harmless, because what's happening is the chemicals are coming out of this plastic.
Yeah.
They're sublimating, as we say.
Well, what we don't realize is we have a golden opportunity now that we have...
to sue everybody. Oh, no?
Well, no. I mean, the reason they went to plastic dashboards was because of the danger inherent in the old-fashioned metal dashboards, you may remember from your youth.
Right.
But now that we have...
In which people would die instantaneously, and now they die slowly.
Right.
Slowlier.
but my point being that because we have seat belts now and airbags, we can go back to metal dashboards. We don't need these stinking...
Wouldn't that be great?
And you can put your plastic Jesus with the magnetic base.
Yeah.
I mean, they ruined it for us. You could stick all kinds of stuff on a metal dashboard.
Oh, yeah.
And plastic dashboards came along and ruined that whole thing. The short answer is buy the Subaru.
That's what we did, actually.
Good.
You did.
Good thinking.
It's better than puking every day.
Yeah.
Hey, that would be their new advertising slogan. Buy a Subaru. It's better than puking every day.
And you like the Subaru?
It's great.
Oh, great. We like it, too.
Yeah.
See you, Jeremy.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Have fun with your twins.
We will.
Bye. All right, look. It's time for us to take a short break.
A break? That would be when the listeners go away and, like, we stay here? Is that it?
Well, not from their point of view. From their point of view, we go away and they stay put.
This is an interesting philosophical issue, isn't it?
Yeah, well, why don't you ponder it while the rest of us take a break? Somehow, we'll all be back in about a minute.
We were cruising about 60, had the wind in our face as we cranked down the windows and cranked up the bass.
And even though tear-shaped boulders run down the faces on Mount Rushmore whenever we say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and breaking news from the animal kingdom.
Well, this is not ours, but the Washington Post, as you know, does some very interesting things.
Yes.
They ask people to produce hybrids of animals.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. If you cross a camel and an ocelot, you get
Camelot.
Camelot. Of course.
Exactly.
Excellent. How about if you cross a Barbary ape and a Chihuahua? This is a good one.
A Barbary ape and a Chihuahua. Jeez, a Barbary ape and a Chihuahua. I don't know. I'm going to have to pass.
Barbara Wawa.
Oh,
isn't that good?
No, not really.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, you would.
How about a Scottish Terrier and a tapir?
Scotch tape.
Scotch tapir, exactly. All right. I saved this one for last because I think it's the best.
Okay, I'm ready.
An emu plus a quail.
An email.
Very good. I knew you'd get the hang of it. Well, thanks, guys, from the Washington Post.
Oh, yeah, that was great. I'm telling you. Maybe we can get some of those every week.
Well, if you'd come up with a puzzler once in a while, I wouldn't have to read crap like this.
Hey, the puzzler is on vacation. The puzzler is busting his cookies 10 months out of the year.
Well, can't the puzzler have the same vacation? Oh, wait a minute. Can't we have the same vacation as the puzzler?
Yeah, I mean, after all, we're the hosts of the show. The puzzler is just an inanimate object. In fact, it isn't even an object. The puzzler is what? It's a concept.
Yeah.
And it gets more vacation than we do.
Yeah. It's that's my point.
Puzzler is a better agent. By the way, if you've got a hankering for a Car Talk puzzle this week, there's one as close as your nearest buggy web browser. Just head over to cartalk.com, and you'll find one of our favorite puzzles from the past. And it's posted just for you and the 4.2 million other folks who may be interested. They can access it, too.
Of course.
But if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is, what, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jill from Burlington, North Carolina.
Jill.
Hi,
Burlington,
Jill.
North Carolina.
It's about a half an hour from Chapel Hill. It's in the middle of basketball country.
Cool.
Yeah.
And why are you calling us?
My car has started to sound like Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, like, like
which version? The Gene Wilder one?
More like the Gene Wilder one. The Dr. Frankenstein.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein. Oh, so it sounds like that Frankenstein.
Yeah, I put it in gear and it goes, and then I do that through first, second, third, it's okay. And then once I hit 35, it seems to go away.
What kind of a car is it?
1992 Honda Civic.
And this happens as you're moving?
I hear it as I start to press on the gas.
But if you're just sitting there at a traffic light, you don't hear it.
No, not very much. I hear a little bit of a rattle under the front right side of the car.
Oh, you do? Do you?
And you think this rattle is another incarnation of the same noise or a different noise?
I don't know. The car seems to be falling apart, so I really can't tell which noises are related
to each other. Okay. Plenty of noises. But then when you do step on the gas and you start to move...
Oh, go back a step. How about when you step on the clutch? Do you hear any change?
No, it seems to go away when I step on the clutch.
Oh.
When I step on the clutch and put it in neutral, it seems to go away.
A very telling answer.
Yes, it is.
And you're not going to be happy with what we say. So
she may be happy.
We may just well hang up now.
She may be happy.
You think so?
She's looking for an excuse to buy a new car.
Yeah, how close are you financially to buying a new car?
My boss tells me that I need a new car every day, and I tell him that he should make it easy for me to get a new car.
Yeah, he should.
I'm pretty far away.
Yeah, well, what's wrong, unfortunately, and the reason the noise goes away when you step on the clutch is that the transmission is making noise. You see, the reason you hear it in the lower gears is because when you get into higher gear, you're not meshing any, you don't hear it in fourth because you're not meshing any gears in fourth gear.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth gear, the power is just going right from the engine right out to the wheels.
in fifth gear, you're actually meshing gear, so the noise probably comes back in fifth.
But you're going so fast, you don't notice it.
The car's making too many other
noises. Exactly. By that time, it's
so you'll hear it in first, second, and third, and it goes away as soon as you step on the clutch because the transmission stops turning when you step on the clutch.
So I need a new transmission.
I need a new transmission, which translates into...
You need a new car.
You need a new car.
I mean, for 99.9% of the people in the world, it would simply mean nothing. It would just be, you got a noise, and just keep driving.
Yeah, how many other noises do you have? Maybe we can rank them. I mean, this might be like number four
noise.
There's
a rattle, there's a snap. I might have a vampire in the back. I got Frankenstein in the front.
Frankenstein in the front, a vampire in the back, a rattle, a snap.
You have crackles and pops. I mean, the transmission in and of itself is not a reason to get rid of the car.
No.
It could go on making this noise forever.
Oh.
You might want to take the step, however, of having someone check to see if there's any oil in the transmission.
That would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
My guess is there isn't.
And it could well be that if you just put some oil in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the noise is never going to go away, but you'll keep the transmission from melting.
That would be important.
That would be
so
important.
If you have
yeah.
to drive it for the next few months or years.
You might have years.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, goody. Just what you wanted to hear.
Just what you wanted to hear. So tell your boss, forget about the raise. I don't need it. Wouldn't that knock his socks off?
I'll try that right this minute.
Yeah, right. See you later.
Thanks. Bye.
1-888.
Forget about that raise.
Have you ever done that?
No.
No. 1-888 Car Talk. We should try it on Berman. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Next time, yes, we'll have to say, oh, no, you'll have to forget about that raise, right?
You don't need it.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
He knows.
He knows he doesn't need it.
He may be the most overpaid person in public radio.
No, we are.
Oh, yeah. Hello, you're on Car Talk. No, but we're not a person. We're two people. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Craig in San Pedro.
San Pedro, California.
San Pedro, California.
Where are you really from, Craig? Tell us the truth, man.
Chicago, originally.
Aha! Okay.
But I also spend time in Philadelphia, so maybe it's my Philadelphia accent.
It's Philadelphia that I'm hearing.
Oh, you sound like one of them Philadelphia lawyers.
So what's up, man?
Well, I recently moved to Southern California, and by, I don't know, dint of necessity, I wanted to combine a passenger car, Creature Comforts, with the utility of a work truck, so I bought a minivan. So my question for you is, how do I make this thing more sexy?
Give it up and join a monastery, dude. Well, I mean, you're in California.
Yeah,
I know. So, I mean, I suppose you could, like, paint flowers all over it.
Well, that's what I do for a living.
You're a painter?
Yeah, painter. I paint murals and...
I rest my case. You can do this for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, how else are you going to do it? I mean, a minivan is the most sexless vehicle there is.
Yeah, I know. Like, a guy in a minivan, you just assume that his voice is already high.
No, we wanted to have our cat neutered. We didn't even take him to the vet. We took him around the minivan for a couple of blocks, and he was all done.
Took two blocks,
yeah,
huh?
You see a guy in a minivan.
Couldn't wait to get out. But yeah. I agree with my brother. I think you should paint your own truck.
Let's figure out what to paint on it.
Yeah, I don't.
What kind of a woman are you trying?
How about a big sign that says "I'm desperate"?
Lack subtlety.
Yeah. Something like "beautiful, sexy woman" or "best offer."
What kind of a babe are you trying to land?
Well, like you said, you know, I'm not being that particular.
An artistic type.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Long walks on the beach.
Well, if need be, yeah.
Sunsets.
Pina coladas.
Yeah.
He's in California. I mean, anything
yeah, really,
can happen.
I mean, I know. I should paint it to look like a red Ferrari. You think that would
work? Yeah, that would be good.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Remember in the old days when VW bugs were around, people used to make a hood that you could put on it that looked like a Rolls Royce. So it looked like you were driving around in a 10-foot-long Rolls Royce.
Right. See what happened to your car? Right? The garage door closed too quick. And
I don't know.
But it really is a Rolls, trust me.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question, and I don't feel qualified to answer it, never having been a woman, or at least not until the weekend.
I thought you weren't going to reveal that.
I wasn't.
So did I.
It just slipped out.
Well, now the secret's out. Now what are you going to do?
I like it. I mean, I think we need to get the advice of the target market, as we used to say in the marketing business.
Yeah, we need advice only from women.
Okay.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask our female listeners
to
make recommendations as to what you could do to a minivan to make it more interesting, to make you more interesting to women.
Okay.
Yeah. Make the driver of a sexless minivan more interesting to women. So if you're a woman and you have some ideas on how to do this, either write to us or go to our website.
Okay.
So
send it to us.
Stay tuned and we'll have results for you any day now.
Great.
Thanks, Craig. We'll try to help you, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll do our best. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So now, why is it that we were reluctant to give him advice, and yet when the guy called about the cattle trailer with the electric brakes, we dove right in?
Well, because we thought we knew something about the electric brakes.
No, we said we have never heard of electric brakes.
But we thought we could figure out.
We have never seen electric brakes.
But this is a much
We don't know what a cattle trailer is.
These questions of the heart are much more difficult.
We should be experts at this.
Yeah.
One of us should be.
Yeah.
I should be expert at it.
It's true. You failed again.
Tom Goodale should be expert at it.
1-888
Five wives.
Car talk. That's eight. I think the other
testimony four, that he wasn't expert at it.
The other four would be interested to know that. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Karen from Gloucester.
Gloucester, Mass, or
yes.
England?
Karen.
Yeah, what's up, Karen?
Well, first of all, I just want to comment on Craig's call. Maybe he should take his Sawzall and cut the top off the van and turn it into a convertible.
Oh,
he could do that. So, that's good.
Or he could paint it to look like a motorcycle.
A Harley. You could do that, couldn't you?
You could do anything.
Use the wheels that are there, right?
Right.
And then you could have somebody sitting, picture of himself. Sitting on the seat.
He's all set.
Karen,
okay, we'll shut the website down.
You're a genius.
I am a genius.
That would immediately make you interested.
No, she'd say, what a jerk.
No, it would make me look twice.
Oh, and then
you might say, that guy must be an interesting guy.
That's right.
But if he wasn't good looking.
It doesn't matter.
What's looks got to do with it? Come on. Man of the 21st century, should know that.
That's right.
I mean, would looks make any difference to you if you were trying to choose a woman? Not that you are, because you've already chosen a woman, but looks had nothing to do with it. We all know that. I mean, a bag full of chisels. Oh, man, are we in trouble now?
Well, that's why I'm beginning to become a proponent of the arranged marriage.
Really?
Yes.
And who would do the arranging?
Well, I would do it all. For everybody.
Well, I've arranged all mine.
Yeah, well, you've done a lousy job. So you needed a professional arranger. I think most people don't know how to arrange their own marriages. You know, you have like floral arrangers?
Yeah.
I don't do marriage arranging. Anyway, Karen, what do you want?
Why did you call us?
Well, I have this bold plan to cover a car with beach glass.
Oh, beach glass. Do you know Jerry Orlandella?
I don't.
Well, you ought to meet him.
Okay.
Yeah, he used to work for us, and he covered his car with beach sand.
Little did he know how heavy sand is.
Well, blew out all four tires.
That's kind of my question.
Yeah.
If I do this, my number one concern is, is this going to be a safety hazard in any way?
What is
beach
glass?
Oh, no. Broken glass? I don't think so. Don't ever give me that idea.
Yeah.
How about razor blades, like standing on edge? Those will glint in the sunlight.
No, what is beach glass?
It's glass that you find on the beach that's been worn down so that it has no sharp edges.
Exactly. It's smooth.
Oh, so
and
it is safe.
It's frosted, too, so there's no glare.
Right, but until you hit somebody and the glass breaks and okay. That's why the sand was such a good idea.
Okay. What, you want to cover the entire car in this stuff?
I do.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, what
All
do
right.
we care?
Okay, are we done here?
What can the Registry of Motor Vehicles do besides throw you in the Turkish prison for the rest of your life?
You might want to start with a section of the car first.
Okay.
Just to see how it flies.
The interior. Try the interior.
Well, you're going to have to glue the stuff on.
Right, right. And what kind of adhesive would you suggest?
Well, I would call Jerry. I don't know. What did Jerry use?
You could use, I would use Gorilla Glue, probably. It's a urethane glue.
Okay, is this a brand name?
Mm. Gorilla Glue is a brand name. It's a polyurethane glue, I believe, and you can get it. There are other companies that make
it. It usually comes in a half-ounce tube, but you can get the 55-gallon drum.
Oh, yeah, they'll put a pipeline right to your house, but you might want to start in a small area to see if you have the knack for this.
Okay.
But I'd like the idea. So beach glass, huh?
What is the car that you hate so much that you want to cover it up like this?
Well, funny you should ask. I'm kind of in the market for probably a VW Bug.
A new one? No.
Well, could be.
And you want to cover a new car with beach glass?
Sure.
I don't know what this is. He's
speechless.
He is. He's flummoxed.
I am flummoxed, yeah. I wish you the very best. And next time I'm in Gloucester, Massachusetts, I will look around for you.
See you, Karen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beach glass isn't easy to come by. She was making the stuff in the basement. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered one of your precious few hours of summer listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producer is David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey this week is the lovely Catherine Frau Blücher, Fetalosum, who's covering for Doug the Old Gray Mare, who's spending his vacation at yodeling school. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Irvine Roast Swine, Salt Brine, Bad Wine, Pork Rind, Quinine, and Porcupine, Rain or Shine, Dance and Dine, Conga Line, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. My brother's official co-pilot is Yvette DePence. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our long-distance cycling enthusiast is Major Ashburn. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the sidewalk bicycle racers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother, please.
And don't drive like my brother, please.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1029, stroll through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, play along with Stump the Chumps.
Yeah, if you like Stump the Chumps, you can now go online and check out all the previous episodes.
You can hear us triumphant in victory.
Or blaming the caller in defeat.
That's the Stump the Chumps archives, now at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's general counsel increases the limit on the network's malpractice insurance whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.